We'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy 20 tonight. Deuteronomy 20. To look at a few thoughts there to try to encourage our heart. Am I on, Jamie? Oh, I see. They had the mute on. Okay. Reading from verse 1. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. Isn't that nice? Before battle, before crisis, whatever the event is, the servant of God went before them and had a word for the people. Tremendous order. And he shall say to them, "Hear, Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint." Keep your finger on that word. "Do not be afraid and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." And the officers shall speak to the people, saying, "What man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there who is betrothed to a woman and has not yet married her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man marry her." And verse 8 is a very particular verse that I have in mind as well. "And the officer shall speak further to the people and say, 'What man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart.'" May the Lord bless the reading of that passage for his glory. The grace is seen in the order of the men that before they go to battle. Of course, we have three categories there. One, if a man built a house, let him at least have the privilege and the pleasure of living in it for a little while, dedicating it, of course, to the Lord. Secondly, if he planted a vineyard, let him be a partaker of that vineyard, the fruit of the vineyard, before he goes to battle. He might die in the war, you see. And the third, of course, if he is engaged to a woman, let him follow through with that. And so we see a great deal of graciousness in things of that nature. But then we have, of course, a reminder that we are not to faint. There's a proverb, and I'd like to read it to you. In 24 verse 10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Now, I'm not speaking of physical fainting. I remember when I had an operation once and when I had a sort of checkup, the doctor, all he did was raise my head like this and I went right out. Next thing I know, the nurses were rubbing my hand and whatever they did, I don't know, but I had fainted apparently from loss of blood. I had lost too much blood, you see. But that's not the idea that I have in mind tonight. Fainting could be lapses of our faith before the Lord, lapses in our Christian life, discouragement, spiritually speaking, and a lot of God's people who get discouraged along the way. What I'd like to do is quickly use some biblical illustrations of great men of God who had this problem. Remember Jacob, he said, and he had a lot of problems. "Believe me, all of these things are what? Are against me. Everything is against me." And when the boys brought him news that they had to take little Benjamin back down to Egypt, Jacob's heart was just torn. It was too much for him. "I've lost Joseph already, and now you're asking me to part with my beloved Benjamin, my son? No, I won't do it. I can't do it. I cannot give him up." And finally, they prevailed against the father. It was the only way they'd be able to get what they needed. And finally he gave in. And he let his little boy or his son go down to Egypt. And all of these things are against me. There's a lot of things that were against Jacob. But you know, sometimes we say this same thing. How come everything is happening to me? I heard this recently, by the way, of a particular person, family. And they did have a lot of things happening. But you know something? When they do come, when the storm comes like that, when the trials come like that, don't faint. At least that's the admonition of the Word of God. Not to faint in the day of adversity. Because your strength not only is small, but it will be smaller in the days before us. Okay. I think of a man like David. David with his trials, and he had plenty of problems. Believe me, he had. He was a king, but he had a lot of problems. Even before he was a king, when Saul wanted to kill him, wanted to take his life. And on one occasion, David said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away." Do you feel like that sometimes? Wish that you could fly away? Oh, yes. It's not unusual. And sometimes you just wish you could fly away from some of the problems of life and some of the trials. But, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Repeatedly in the Psalms we see this. But then he had other problems. Remember with Joab, his right-hand commander-in-chief. And David said this. He said, "I want you to spare my boy or deal gently with him," with Absalom. Absalom was a rebellious son. And David said, "Whatever you do, Joab, deal gently with him." And when Joab caught up with Absalom, he had apparently, remember, he caught, his hair was caught in a bramble bush or some kind of tree. And there he hung. And Joab came and took darts. Whatever type they were, I'm not at least aware of it. I don't know what kind. But he threw those darts in the very heart of Absalom and killed him while he was hanging there. And David said, "Deal gently with him." When they brought news to David that his son was killed, you know what David said? "The sons of Zariah be too hard for me. Too hard." Joab paid for his sin in disobeying the king's command later on. But David had suffered quite a bit. I think of a man like Elijah. That's a classic example, really. When you think of Elijah, he had what we call a suicidal moment in his life. When I say that, not that he wanted to take his own life, but he wanted to die. And he was so discouraged. He had just finished battling the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And you remember how he built an altar to the Lord. And he was challenging the prophets of Baal, even Baal himself. And he said, "Maybe your God has gone on a journey." Because they said that he was to come and consume the offering by fire. And of course, Baal couldn't do that. But then when Elijah did it, a wonderful miracle happened. He said, "Put water around it." Now that's unusual. Water and fire doesn't mix, does it? But they did. They put so much water around that offering. And he called upon the God of heaven. And God immediately heard the prayer of Elijah. And the offering was consumed, we're told, with fire from heaven. And then Elijah did something. Ordered all the prophets of Baal. How many was it? 400? Quite a few to be killed. Can you imagine that? However, now when Ahab, the king, is going back to the city, and believe me, there was no love for Elijah by Ahab, and Jezebel, his wife, you've heard of Jezebel, I'm sure. Boy, it rained hard because he told Ahab, "Get back to the city. Whatever you do, get back. Because it's going to rain." And Elijah ran behind that chariot all the way to the city, or at least on the outskirts of the city. Now, when I was up in a little hill, not so much as a mountain, I believe it was a place where King Ahab had his house. And I was on top of that, and I was really enthralled. I was thrilled with being there. You know why? It looks over the tremendous valley of Megiddo, and we won't talk about that tonight. Beautiful. And way to the left, 25 miles to the left, was Mount Carmel. And that's where Elijah had defied the prophets of Baal and even had them killed. And he ran there almost 25 miles. Now you talk about a marathon race. That was one. That's quite a distance. And I am sure that Elijah was tired, like many of you men are tonight, getting all your boats ready. And I'm sure the women with their responsibility as well. A lot of people in the land are weary. But Elijah was tired, weary, and maybe hungry as well. And then Jezebel said, by this time tomorrow, the head of Elijah is going to be like that of the prophets of Baal. Otherwise, I'm going to see to it that Elijah is killed. Now, here's a man that defied 400 prophets of Baal, had them killed. Now he runs for his life from a woman. Can you imagine that? Can you conceive, take that in? He could have prayed and he could have had the same thing. But I'm not going to judge him. I'm only just telling you a fact that no matter how great you are, like James says, Elijah is just like us and we're just like Elijah. He was a man. But he prayed. And then he prayed again. But the thing is, he ran. I think, if I remember correctly, studying it some years ago, I think the first time or period distance was something like 60 miles. And then he went further than that to get away from Jezebel. But here's the point. While he was in that cave, and he said, Lord, let me die. I don't want to live anymore. I've had enough. I know I'm using perhaps a few extra words, paraphrasing some of it. It's only natural. I can't take any more of this. Let me die. I'm the only one left, Lord. The Lord says, Elijah, Elijah, there are 7,000 my servants here in the land that have not bowed the knee to Baal. 7,000. Elijah thought he was the only one. But the point is this. He had this, what we call this spiritual fainting fit or period in his life, you know. Got discouraged. And a lot can be said about that. Not going to go into why or what could have been done to prevent these things. No, I'm not going to enter that. Just sufficient to say in these biblical illustrations, great men have had their periods of discouragement. That when you are discouraged, don't think it's strange. It will come. Perhaps it has come to you on more than one occasion. As I can say, I know what it is. I've been there. But the Lord has given strength. And I think of Moses in the same chapter, in verse 8 in particular. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go home, lest he discourage others. Otherwise, fainting, this type of fainting, spiritual fainting, can be contagious. You get in a group of people, and they all talk about negative things. So discouraging. It can't be done. Or it should be done this way. And there's just nothing pleasant about their conversation. And faint-heartedness. It's contagious. You'd be surprised. Sometimes other people can be discouraged. I've heard more scenarios on Hannah, this lady that's given us a lot of problems in the South. I've heard more scenarios how this thing is going to go and where it's going to go and what it's going to do. And I personally have no idea. I know it's in the hands of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of peace in this, But I realize that because of Hurricane Andrew and Floyd, those two hurricanes in particular, we were devastated. We were shocked, numbed. In fact, shocked for a few days what we saw, what happened. And so naturally, anxiety levels build up. But beware, beloved, don't let it build up to a point where you lose your spiritual balance. And it can easily happen. Don't feel that the Lord is not there to give us the help that we need. And as Gerald prayed tonight, and the Lord can and He will give us help. Don't discourage others. All right? If you feel discouraged yourself, don't do the same to other people around you. Joshua 14:12. I think of Caleb, that great servant of God. Here, 80 years of age, and they were, of course, they were attacking the nations around them, steeped in idolatry, and Caleb made this request. I want this mountain. Here's a man at 80 years of age, and he said, give me this mountain. Caleb, what in the world you want with a mountain at your age? He had a good motive, a pure motive. Luck can be said about that, which was given to his daughter, part of it anyhow. But, you know, the idea is here's a man that believed that God could give him this mountain. He had to fight the enemy to get it. It wasn't just handed to him on a platter. He had to secure it by battle. But then Caleb being the man, his very name, I can understand this. You know, Caleb means dog. You know what a dog does? Follows his master. Three times in that chapter that I mentioned, he wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. Isn't that what a good dog will do? No disrespect to Caleb now, but you know a dog will follow its master, right? Someone said, they're more obedient to the masters than a lot of children. That may be so. Well, I tell you one thing, they're sure getting a lot of attention today in the world. In fact, they're getting more attention than children. Oh, Brother Perry, you've been preaching pretty good now. You messed it up. Yeah, I've been in homes where the children walk on top of the couch. Boy, good backhand slap. Oh, get off that couch. You know better than that. But dogs don't know any better. Dogs can get up on the couch and all the hair of the dogs can come off and be, I don't even talk about it. I'm allergic anyhow. I have problems with this, you see. And I like a good dog. I don't think I don't like animals, but I like animals. And so if you ladies want to go around golf carts all day long with a dog up against you, snugging it, go to it. That's your business. All right? Now I'm going to get in more trouble now. But you're getting my point, eh? Dogs are obedient to the masters. Sit. Dog sits. You know, it's really amazing how they obey. As thy days, here's the point I want to make. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Beautiful verse. Claim that verse. As your days, one day at a time, don't worry about Ike right now. Don't worry about Josephine right now. Okay? Be concerned about Hannah. One hurricane at a time. Amen? You agree with me there? Man, these weather report people, oh, there's something else. This one we've got to watch. The good news is, it's just a depression. The bad news, tomorrow, it's going to be a storm. Always making it worse. This one is aimed for the Bahamas. My word, we haven't even gotten through Hannah yet. You know, and they're aiming them for us. Oh, listen, you could get so nerved up. Your anxiety level build up in this thing. It just destroys your joy. One day at a time. One hurricane at a time, all right? Mind you, we had three. When the night I got married, 3.5 weeks, we had 3 hurricanes back to back. So I'm aware of the fact that it could happen too. But don't think that that's what's going to happen in our case now, all right? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Isaiah 26:3, I love this verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's a good cure for fainting fits. Our mind stayed on the Lord, and he will give us what? Peace, real abiding peace. And that's what we need today. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, them that are called according to his purposes. They that love the Lord, all things work for our good. Man, sometimes you might doubt that, but that is the truth of the word, okay? So we need to trust the Lord. We need to go on, press on for him, do what he wants us to do, and do his bidding, and do it well. And God will give the blessing, the ultimate blessing that is. I often think what William Carey said, that great missionary to India, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Let me repeat that. Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. We should have the faith to believe that the Lord is able, okay? And the preachers have to be reminded of that constantly, constantly. All right? Now, let me just refer to something here on discouragement. I don't know if you ever heard of Glenn Cunningham, but he was a tremendous long-distance runner. And he had won medals. And now it came time for this tremendous feat with the Olympics. And he had a terrible accident. His legs were burned so badly that left him a cripple for quite a while. And the doctor said, Glenn, you'll be able to walk. We're going to work on you. Well, you're doing well. You'll be able to walk, but you will never run again. Glenn Cunningham was out on this fence when he was recuperating for weeks and months, and the neighbor saw him holding on to the fence, dragging his legs, you know, and they were terribly scarred and painful, but he kept it up. Every day they saw Mr. Cunningham do that. Would you believe that Glenn Cunningham recuperated sufficiently and was in the finals and actually won his race? This is the man that they said, you will never run again. Just a little thought from practical life of Glenn Cunningham. Amazing what we could do if we put our minds to it. To believe God, to trust him. A young man said one day, it won't be long, he said, I'm working on something, it won't be long that you'll be able to talk into this thing and you could hear a man 50 miles away. They said, Mr. Bell, his name was Alexander Graham Bell. He said, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking. Hear a man 50 miles away. He said, I've got it almost perfected. And that's why they had the Graham Bell telephone company, the telephone. I wonder what Mr. Bell would say today if he was back to see all the children going around with cell phones, no wires. Huh? Isn't that something? Mommy, I'm going to be a little late. Where are you now? Oh, I'm up at the Gap. Oh, okay. You know, communication. Mr. Bell would never had, perhaps he never dreamed that it would be like it is today. Maybe it's too much of it. But nevertheless, here's a man that they said it could not be done. But Mr. Bell worked at it again and again and again, and he perfected it. Thomas Edison, you heard of him. 111 times he was an experiment and it failed. 111 times. His son said, Daddy, what in the world you hope to accomplish after trying 111 times and fail? What have you learned? You know what Mr. Edison said? I've learned how not to do it 111 times. That's what he learned. That's a failure. But he tried again. And he succeeded. A lot we owe to that man. They said it couldn't be done. Do you know they said the Holland Tunnel could not be done? And the Hoover Dam could not be done? The Golden Gate Bridge, that vast expansion of a bridge, they said it can't be done. But it was done. They said, when they said they were going to go to the moon, you're crazy. You'll never be able to go to the moon. Can't do it. But they went to the moon, you see, because those men believed that it could be done. Now let's have a spiritual application here. We must believe that God is able, right? You know, that's one way we could bring pleasure to the Lord. I'm not talking like I'm a bona fide professor in this area, this field. We all need to learn it every day to be able to have more faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that, what? Diligently seek Him. That's what God wants, to trust Him. Not to have those who faint-hearted people to discourage it can't be done. You don't want that. You want a positive outlook on these things. It can be done. Hebrews 12:12, lift up your hands, which hang down. Oh, how many people are discouraged sometimes. Their hands hanging down. And every time you meet them, it's the same story, you know. I feel sorry for them in a sense. But maybe it becomes such a habit, you know, that they hard for them to get out of that. But they need love. They need prayer. They need understanding. But watch it that it doesn't be so contagious, you know, this thing fainting and discouragement. You get caught up in it yourself if you're not careful. But I think of what John's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 5, what Mary, the mother of Jesus, she said, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Okay? This is the word for all of us. Whatsoever God says to you, do it. Now, I want to be a little practical. I love you. And please take the admonition out of love. Some of you young men, you pray so well. I love to hear you pray. Get up in the Tuesday night meeting, all right? And pray. Don't wait and leave it to the same two or three. Now, I know I'm being practical, and I don't believe you're going to hold that against me or be angry against me, but just long to hear some of your voices in the Tuesday night service. Don't worry, the brethren be so proud. And doesn't have to be long either. In fact, 2 minutes, a long prayer publicly anyhow, and I break it every time I get up to pray. But listen, let's really hear your voice, okay? Long to hear your voice. Put a little variety in our, a little spice in our Tuesday night meeting as well, okay? And may the Lord bless you for it. That's just a little practical lesson there, all right? What about Gideon's men? They met the test. Brother Loxley and I stooped down there in that little stream, that cool water, where Gideon's men perhaps are close by. And we tried to go through the same motions of lapping up that water. Men that God had selected for the task because they were equipped. And men are always to pray and not to faint. Okay? Get back on track. You're fainting fit. Men are always to pray and not to faint. Not just in a public meeting like this, but in our homes we are to pray, pray, pray. Okay? If we want grapes, we must fight the giants. Remember the report came back? A lot of grapes in the land. Huge bunches of grapes. But there are giants in the land. 10 of those spies that went out. And Caleb and Joshua, the only two, says, so what? God is with us, and we can defeat the enemy. We can claim the land. But 10 of them brought back such a discouraging note. You can't go. There are giants there. course there are giants. There are giants in our Christian life. We've heard Brother Fred speak about the giant of self. And that's quite a giant, believe me, the flesh. That's a great giant that we fight every day. The giant of the devil we fight every day. The world we have problems with every day. These are giants. But the personal giants we have is self-pity. Always want pity. And some folks live like that. And selfishness, period. Self. Me, myself, and I. No one else. Faithlessness, that's another giant. Already mentioned words, we said it can't be done, but it can be done. And let's do it without any hindrance. Let's do it with a goal in front of us and to achieve that for the Lord. I don't have to be ahead of Brother So-and-so or better than Brother So-and-so. No, the idea is hit the tape. Run the race faithfully. All right? Run it according to the rules. Run it faithfully for the glory of God. And don't faint. I've seen many a runner in these long distant runs, and they fall before the end of the race. That lady who was supposed to be the favorite in the Olympics of winning the hurdle race, the last hurdle, she touched the hurdle, and the hurdle fell down. She tripped and fell over. And she cried and wept and wept and wept. She was the favorite, you see, expected to win. But I hope she doesn't get discouraged. There's another long runner in the Olympics. I forget his name, and I even forget the distance that they ran. But he made one mistake. He was running. He would have won the race. And what he, you know what he did? He looked over his shoulder and looked around. And that split moment of a second, this person that was behind him won the race. Second. And he became just was second, not first. He looked back. And wasn't one of the Jamaican runners, when he was getting to the finish line, he knew he was ahead, but he could have beat the world record. But instead, he put his hands out, you know. And I'm not going to judge, but he was trying to say, look at me. I'm from Jamaica. I'm first. But he failed to beat the world record by that one little incident. I don't want to judge him unkindly. Otherwise, he slowed down, slackened the reins. When he got just a moment from the tape, there are a lot of lessons we can learn from these Olympics, you know. However, let me wrap it up with just a few a verse from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Beautiful verse. Philippians 4:13. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Okay? God help us and deliver us from fainting fits for His glory as we seek to live for Him. John Wesley. He was a founder of the Methodist Church, okay? Mr. Wesley traveled 250,000 miles on horseback in his lifetime preaching the Word of God. And he was preaching 15 times a day. Some of us preachers, we get a little tired sometimes. We preach 3 times a day. 15 times a day, if you will. And he was terribly upset and he grumbled when the doctor cut him down to only preaching 8 times a day and he was 80 years of age. Now, that's a little lesson there for us who preach the word, okay? Now let me close with this illustration. Young man, 1831, he failed in his business. 1832, he failed in his bid for legislature, that is for the House of Parliament or the House of Senate in America. And 1833, he failed again in his business. 1840, he failed in his attempt to get to Congress again. 1843, he failed again. Another bid to get in Congress. In 1846, he was elected to Congress. 1856, he failed in his bid as for Vice President of the United States of America. But then, in 1860, he became the President of the United States of America. His name was Abraham Lincoln. If you failed so many times like Mr. Lincoln, would you keep trying? Most of us would have given up, wouldn't we? I use Mr. Lincoln as a practical illustration. All right, you fail, don't give up. Try it again. Work at it again. Keep at it. And the Lord will sustain and the Lord will bless you for it. I guarantee that on the authority of the Word of God. Remember the verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Beautiful verse. May the Lord bless these few remarks to our hearts tonight. Father, truly, as we bow in your presence, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the word which gives encouragement. We thank you for the fact that we are running in a race. And help us, Lord, that we do not faint by the way. That we might endure and reach the tape for the glory of God. Whatever you have us to do, whatever work we're involved in, whatever it is, help us to do it to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for your dear children here tonight. We pray that you'll encourage them and bless them. We know that they're tired from their day's activity, and we just commend them to your grace and your love. Remember dear Emmy tonight, Marcus, Lord. We thought you were going to call him home last night, but he rallied. But she looked so strained, oh God, and tired, Lord. We just commend her to your grace and your love and pray that you'll give her the encouragement that she needs from day to day. And we thank you, Lord, for Jeff. And remember Miss Ethelyn again, doing so good. We commend her to your grace and your love. For those dear folk in Haiti with a loss of the roof of the chapel and as well as the school, we pray that you will continue to be with them and all the bereaved families in that part of the land. We ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen.